Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Suji DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 408, recorded on January 11th, 2022. This is Arsen Vladimirsky, and I'm your guest host for today. I'm joined by your usual hosts, Sujit, Evan, and Cynthia. Today, we're going to be talking with our special guest, John Stallo, about a new and exciting Azure load testing service. But first, Evan, do you want to explain why I'm guest hosting today?
Yeah, absolutely. So because this is really sort of a special show, we decided to do something unique. This fall, so Microsoft has this internal charitable giving event called Give. We have the typical things you can do, your local agencies and organizations that, you know, you would do your typical charitable giving to. But the other fun thing we do is we auction off experiences and things, right? There's signed jerseys. There's, you know, somebody will show up and cook a big barbecue feast for you. And we thought it'd be kind of fun to auction off a guest host event. And so Dennis Karlinski, who's here, you know, with us as well, Dennis, you know, took us up on that offer and he bid and he won. And for the audience, he was not the only bidder. So it wasn't winning by default. But, you know, Dennis was nice enough to use his own hard earned money to, you know, for charity. But this was what he chose to spend it on. And then even better, he turned around and gifted that to Arsen. And so this is why Arsen's here. This is sort of a neat. It's sort of our way of giving back. We're thrilled to have Arsen. I've worked with Arsen a number of times. And Dennis, you know, thank you again for investing in this, both from sort of as a fun experience as well as from the charitable perspective. It's definitely a good use and we appreciate it. We will be doing this in the future. For those of you that are internal, you know, external listeners, we always say, hey, if you want to come on and be a guest, we're happy to have you. If you're an internal listener, this will be around again next year. So you have your opportunity. You have to see if you can outbid Dennis next year for this. So,
Evan, before you guys want to say one quick thing, but it's, thank you all for making it available. And I'm just happy that given how this thing's exploding in popularity that I got in before it would cost me like six figures. So just happy to get in on the ground floor and other people have an opportunity to kind of keep building with you guys. Of course, I'm going to rebid obviously next year.
No, sounds fun. Thank you again. So now flipping this back to Arsen. So Arsen, since you are our guest host today, you're in charge, go ahead and take it back up. Thanks for letting me jump in there.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you very much for the opportunity. So as always, before we get into the main topic with John Stallo, what do we have in the news and updates since the last time? I know previous episode, we might have not covered the holiday updates. I had a couple that I can touch on, and maybe Evan, Sujit, Sinti, you guys can add things that caught your attention.
I'm going to jump in because the first one's a networking one and I'm always the networking person here. So Traffic Manager, you know, highly used service, you know, in terms of, you know, balancing your traffic against multiple regions based on availability and performance. They're adding some additional probe IPs. So you're going to want to make sure that you update if you are sort of locking down access to just those specific probe IPs, you're going to want to make sure that you expand that because otherwise you could get probing failures for traffic managers. So again, not a today thing. Now it is 2022. They are added now at the end of the month. So you're going to want to go do that in the near future.
That's good. I can take one with the Microsoft Defender for Cloud. I had a couple updates, specific updates, and it's formerly called Azure Security Center. So the new name is Microsoft Defender for Cloud. And the updates there were combining some of the features related to containers. So Microsoft Defender for Containers reached GA availability, and it contains a couple of the previous now deprecated options. One was called for Kubernetes, one was called for Container Registries. And there were a couple other updates that are more specific. Sujit, Cynthia, anything from your side?
Yeah, the Azure Cognitive Service, the Semantic Search Service, has now entered public preview. And this kind of almost includes like an AI-based capability in search. So you provide all of the data and you look for things and it kind of looks for patterns and gives you the results that are much more context sensitive to what you were looking for. So it kind of blends search and machine learning and AI to provide a much more useful and productive search experience. This is in public preview, so now the billing, I think there's a billing component to it, but they're going through a test phase right now with the public.
And I have one around a lot of automation updates for Azure Backup. So if you're not using Azure Backup, you should definitely take a look. But now the engineering team has made it a lot easier in terms of all the different ways you can automate it. There are CLIs for Azure Backup. There's also PowerShell support. There's now Terraform as well as Bicep support. So if you're using either of those, now you're able to seamlessly use Azure Backup along with your favorite infrastructure as code language. And yeah, there's a post with a number of different links that we would definitely recommend our listeners to take a look.
Yeah, Arsen?
All right. And there was a couple small updates from IoT Central in the UI and also in the functionality and capabilities. And I think one of the other updates that caught my attention was the connector from Azure Purview, which is a service for scanning data sets and figuring out which tables, columns exist in different data sets. Now there is a connector for Snowflake as one of the data sources that is available. I think that basically covers most of them. With that, we'll turn the floor to our special guest, John. Thank you so much for coming on the Azure Podcast. Just to start us off, maybe you can introduce yourself to the listeners and tell us what you do at Microsoft and what product and service you cover.
Well, first off, thank you for having me on. This is we're pretty excited, actually. So I'm John Stello. I'm a program manager on the Azure Developer Experience team. And we're excited about a new service that we just launched public preview on Azure Load Testing. We launched public preview towards the end of last year, early December, and it really is designed to help developers and testers gain confidence in their applications' performance and scalability.
What are some of the ways that our customers or users test with load before this service was available?
That's a good question. There are a lot of tools out there that customers can use. And in fact, there's a lot of really good progress that has been made in the open source world, where there's a lot of load test frameworks that are out there. One of the things that we found is that while the frameworks are really really solid in terms of the capabilities and the extensibility, the community around it, when you're then trying to run high scale load, there's a lot of infrastructure then that you would need to then go figure out how to run. And not only that, also making sense of the results is something that takes a lot of effort, a lot of special skill set. And so one of the things that we found is that load testing was one of those activities that was perhaps relegated to a specialist or perhaps even outsourced to consultants. But as time has been going on, this is especially true for cloud native applications. Responsibilities like resiliency of an application to be able to meet demand, the health of an application in production, is really becoming a core responsibility of the development team. And so this skill set that perhaps once was relegated to being outsourced is something that development teams are more interested in actually owning themselves, perhaps even earlier on in the product lifecycle.
What, John, I think you alluded to this, and I'm kind of curious how you guys, again, some of this may not be here today. This may be sort of where you're going as well. So that's a fair answer. But, you know, as you mentioned, historically, it's non-trivial to set up these kind of types of load testing. So again, people would become experts in setting up load testing, which also means interpreting that data becomes expert. You know, in the world I'm in, you know, when it breaks, people talk to me. And so I've been on the receiving side of, hey, I'd load tested and my app fell apart. How do we fix it? Those are pretty straightforward because you already know it failed. But what have we figured out in terms of how we make it easier? Like, where are y'all going in terms of making it easier to set this up and then interpret it, which really is in some ways the harder, you know, sort of technical problem at the end of the day?
Yeah. It's a real interesting challenge, and I won't claim that we've actually solved it completely, but I think we've made a good head start on it. So as you mentioned, the first thing is like just take away all of the infrastructure things that you have to figure out, even just to be able to run high scale load, to be able to do this consistently, to be able to get consistent results, to be able to actually collect data off of, you know, maybe a farm of load test engines. But then what we found is just making the data available in one place has actually been adding a lot of value. So one of the things that Azure Load Testing does is it provides, once you run the load test, it provides a view or a dashboard where you can see, here's all the metrics that JMeter provides. And these would be things like, you know, what was the shape of my load that I was actually running? You know, what was my peak set of, you know, concurrent threads? It would be, you know, what was my throughput, error rate, and that kind of thing. But then also what you're able to do, because this is an Azure service and we've optimized it for Azure hosted applications, you can also tell us a little bit about the target application that you're testing. So you can say, you know, the endpoint that I'm testing is actually a web app that's hosted in AppService, and it talks to a Cosmos, you know, database. And so you point to those resources, and what we do is then pull in all of those metrics from Azure Monitor, from Container Insights, if it was AKS. We just pull that in into just one place where you can say, that load test that I just ran last night, I can see what JMeter told me from a black box standpoint, but also all the Azure Monitor and App Insights metrics time boxed to the start and end.
So I don't have to go get all that stuff. In other words, is what you're saying at this point.
That's right.
It's super available. Handy.
It's available out there, but it's just like pulling it all together in just one place really saves a lot of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
John, you kind of started mentioning like it can point to specific resources. What does the user experience look like? Does it have to be in Azure, or I could just give it an endpoint regardless of where it's hosted on, and I just tell them like I want such load over this amount of time? How does one use the service?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because you know, this is obviously an Azure service, Azure load testing, and so you would access it through, you know, going to the Azure portal. Azure SDK and so forth. But your target application can be anywhere. The application that you're actually testing, it could be hosted in Azure, it could be hosted on premises. The whole experience is you author a JMeter script, and JMeter is the most popular and most used load testing framework that's out there. It's open source, has a great community around it. And so with that JMeter script, you can upload it to our service and you can say, I want to be able to run with, you know, 20 engines in parallel to be able to generate high scale traffic. And we'll go ahead and just do that for you as a totally PaaS service. But then we then direct that traffic wherever your JMeter script is configured. So again, that might be an Azure hosted application on-prem somewhere else. And so all of the JMeter metrics are all collected from those multiple agents, and then they're provided in that dashboard. The added benefit if your application is hosted in Azure is that really easy experience of saying, I just want to point to my target application's resources in Azure. And it literally is like a list. You can filter on resource groups and subscriptions and all of that. You say, there's my instance of Cosmos DB, there's my app service, or there's my Kubernetes cluster. And then we'll go in and just pull in a default dashboard, and then you can customize to your heart's content.
So you mentioned JMeter. Does that mean I can use my own Groovy script with Azure Load Test?
Yeah. So one of the really important things for us is to really embrace the community around JMeter. And so with JMeter, there's just a lot of community help that you can go out. There's a lot of sample scripts that you can go out. There's a lot of plugins because JMeter at its core is very extensible. So it has a lot of really cool core capabilities, but then it's very enterprise friendly in terms of plugins that other people have created. And so it's a very important goal for us that a JMeter script that you have authored using all of those community extension points, that you would be able to then just upload it to our service and be able to use it.
And a follow-up question, well, not really follow-up, but I want to ask another question since I have the floor here. Since you said you're part of the developer team, right? Why did we get rid of VS, Visual Studio Team Tests? I have to ask that question because that's always annoyed me.
That's been running through my head too, Sujeet. Thank you for raising it.
Sorry if it's a difficult question, but since I have ready to ask that question.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it would be a question that's on a lot of customers' minds, especially those that were actually have some knowledge of the past there. There's a number of reasons why I think at the time the decision was made to deprecate that service. I wasn't part of the team at that time, but looking back, I think there were some really important learnings that led to that decision. And then those learnings actually informed us as when we were looking at this of saying, what would we do differently? And so part of is that what I was actually describing before. If you go back a number of years, load testing was really more of a specialized skill set, outsourced. It was, perhaps done very, it had a very seasonal aspect to it of, it was like, once every quarter that you would run a load test. And then also a little bit maybe self-inflicted was that the service really had its roots in proprietary framework. And so when open source load test frameworks really came onto the scene, perhaps just as a general trend with open source, a lot of effort, a lot of community love went into those open source projects. And so something like JMeter just completely outran the proprietary capabilities, just in terms of features, in terms of community and support and all of that. So at the time, it just really felt like, it was just customers were better served by other solutions that were out there. So it wasn't so much that, load testing was deemed unimportant. It was just we didn't really have a good solution for customers at the time. So taking those learnings into the new service, it was like, well, let's go where customers are. And most customers doing load testing today, particularly with enterprise scenarios, is in JMeter today. So we've embraced the open source community there, and then we really took on the, if we built something that was for Azure customers and optimized for Azure scenarios, what would that look like? And so some of the features that I've just described around making it really easy to gain insights of how your Azure application is actually behaving under stress is one example of that.
Great. John, one question to ask. In terms of developer experience, if a developer of an application wants to run those tests, as part of their, complete pipeline, integration testing, deployment, are there capabilities? I'm assuming there are, but I'm curious to hear you describe them for including those tests in my CI/CD pipelines and which capabilities are provided already in this early preview and what's maybe coming in the future they can discuss?
Yeah, it's a really good question because it really just talks to one of the key pillars that we set out with this version. So one key pillar was just making it really dead easy to be able to get started. If you have a JMeter script, just upload it, run it, we'll take care of the infrastructure. The other aspect that you touched on is really make it easy to be able to incorporate in your CI/CD pipelines. So at this point in time, we have a GitHub action that you can just configure. We have an Azure Pipelines task as well. And so there's a couple of things there. One is it's just straightforward to be able to configure that, to be able to take in the JMeter script and run it as part of your CI/CD pipeline. But then the other thing is also to be able to have the load test then inform whether your pipeline should fail, whether it should actually pass or not. And so you can set criteria that says, my failure rate shouldn't be greater than a certain percentage. And if it is, just like stop everything because that's something really bad is happening and we shouldn't proceed with a deployment.
John, while you're describing all these like load testing scenarios, it kind of reminded me of the Chaos Studio episode that we did not too long ago. How should a user or a customer think about them together? Like, should they be thought together at all? Or like, what is our recommended approach of looking at two of these services together or not?
Yeah, no, they are definitely related. When I think about like the broader context here, it really is, I mentioned before about, development teams having confidence. Confidence in what way? It really comes down to how resilient is your application in different scenarios, different situations. And so for load testing, it's primarily around having confidence that your application can actually meet muster or be resilient to surges in demand. But if you take that and extrapolate that a little bit more and you can say, well, what would be, my application's resiliency when maybe bad things are happening in dependencies that I might have or in the networking layer. And so Chaos Studio then actually helps by helping you simulate other kinds of things that could be going on in your system. We talk about those as faults, and you can inject faults, and that's kind of the whole premise around chaos testing. We think that there's a lot of opportunity here for these services to be just really useful tools for development teams to just be able to run through different kinds of simulations. In a pre-production environment, perhaps also in a production environment, but not necessarily. And again, to just be able to gain confidence of like, I believe that my application will behave in such a manner if these conditions are true in my system. And just be able to methodically experiment and run through those simulations, I think is really critical.
So I don't necessarily want to get into, sort of pigeonhole you and get you into it. It costs X number of cents per hour. But what's the costing model for this? Is it number of agents? Is it number of requests? Is it like there's some fixed rate? Because obviously it sort of depends on what that model works, who it maps to in terms of customer scenarios.
The main premise behind our current pricing model is really that it is consumption based. So if you use the service and how much traffic you actually generate is really the key driver for how so billing works.
Like request, so, when you say traffic, you're talking like requests per unit of time, or
not really. It's actually based on how many virtual users you're simulating.
Okay.
So in JMeter, that might be called virtual users or concurrent threads, but it's very clear that when you're setting up your script, you're actually saying, I want to be able to simulate this many concurrent threads or virtual users, And so then we just do a calculation of how many virtual users are running at that point in time. And it could be totally like, ramping up and then ramping down again or spiking, all that kind of stuff. But then it's just a factor of how many virtual users are you running, the duration of your test, and how frequently you've actually run that test in a month. And that will then be computed and says, well, based on that consumption of how you've been using the services, how much your billed. Now, there is another, like a second part, which ends up being more of a minor part, which there is a fixed cost here. Currently, it's around $10, I believe, a month of just keeping a load test resource around. And those are just, that's just covering things like we keep a lot of your results and keep actually all of your results for a period of up to like 6 months or so, where you're able to then go back against a whole history of load tests that you would have run. You can actually compare those results. And so that billing component is there as well. But mostly it's a consumption-based meter.
Okay. No, that's great. That was what I was asking, is sort of what's the primary input? It sounds like the virtual users is the sort of the key input into that calculation.
That's right. Okay. And there's a pricing calculator. There's a pricing calculator on Azure.com that you can go through, and you can actually just walk through like different scenarios of like how you would use the service, and so you could kind of get a sense of how much it costs for your scenarios.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, John, when you described how the service works, it runs in Azure. The service itself runs in Azure, and you're load testing another resource that's potentially also in Azure. I remember back in the day doing load testing ourselves, the pipe to the internet and the pipe to your service was often a bottleneck, right? I can imagine in this case, that will not be a bottleneck, assuming because they're both running in Azure, so you have that super fast access. But on the flip side, then I'm worried that, you could load test your service to death, right? Really, because there is no latency, literally, you even with a few users, you could be slamming that service. So is that, how should users take that into account? And secondly, should they be worried about things like being flagged for DDoS or something like that? How do you kind of compensate for those things?
There's a great set of questions there, and actually something that we've thought through quite a bit. I'll add to that in terms of like concern. Imagine if we go back to Arsene's question before, which was, can I actually automate this? And maybe I'm like running this every Tuesday evening, get 2 o'clock in the morning, ready for those results to be ready. Like no one is maybe monitoring, and off you go. A whole bunch of traffic is hitting your test environment. We really wanted to be careful about inadvertently creating those kinds of scenarios where things are really going wrong. So there's a couple of things that we have. So one is when you manually run a load test, you can actually monitor it in real time. There's a dashboard. You can actually see how things are going. You can be checking it in real time of how the metrics are going, both what JMeter is seeing as well as underlying in your own monitoring. And so you see that in the dashboard. You can hit stop at any time. Okay, so that's just basic capabilities there. The other one is that if we detect that things are going really wrong, like the error rate is just like through the roof. And so whether that is like you're running manually or you're running this load test in an automated fashion, we'll actually auto abort. Like there's no reason to like, if 2 minutes into a load test, things are going horribly wrong, there's no reason to keep on going for another 30 minutes of us just generating traffic. So we'll actually auto abort. And then you as a user can actually go in and actually tweak some of those that criteria as well. In addition to that, we actually also have some built-in capabilities of some signals that we look out for against some specific Azure services. And so one example of that is app service. If we are we are able to get a signal that says there's throttling that is actually happening. It might be just because of the plan that you're using that just is not configured to be able to take in the kind of load that you're throwing at it. And so those kinds of signals our service listens for and auto-aborts in that case, and is able to tell you, this is why I auto-aborted.
That's awesome. John, I had one kind of last question. I think, Evan, it's probably the one you wanted to ask because it's a network-related one. But
I am so worried for my job as a host here. This is like... I see the frame plan.
it's a two-part networking question. One is, with JMeter, you can support non-just HTTP, HTTPS protocols. I'm curious if load testing service will also support those other protocols. That's part one. And part two is, many times services are running in private virtual networks, private IP spaces. And just curious, what is our thinking on that? Because I'm sure some enterprise customers will have those scenarios.
Evan, you should be totally worried because these are great questions.
I am. I'm so worried.
So protocol support is really dictated by JMeter's capabilities. And so JMeter has extensions that do cover support for other protocols. So that would be the primary way that you can access that. Great question around testing private endpoints. And so... I'll answer it in two fronts. One is, the public preview that we currently have is limited to primarily testing public endpoints. And that's a constraint of the public preview. And it's okay for some scenarios. But as you said, there's a lot of times where you're testing backend APIs that just don't have a publicly accessible endpoint for you to be able to load test. And so we're actually building that capability currently as we speak. And I think we'll be able to do it in a way that actually is optimized for Azure applications through VNet injection. And so to be able to provide something that is efficient, but also following best practices and a secure networking model that makes sense for Azure applications.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you very much for answering all of these questions. And I guess last question for you, John, if there's any getting started recommendations you have for the listeners who might have got interested in this and want to go and try it out, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so there's a number of ways, starting with our documentation. Maybe we can add a link later on.
Yeah,
it's on docs.microsoft.com, but and under just where Azure documentation is. But we've got a bunch of quick starts. We have some end-to-end tutorials that walk you through not only like setting up your load test and executing it, but then actually how to use the dashboard in the way that I described before around different metrics and so forth. Setting up GitHub workflows to be able to automate a load test and Azure DevOps as well. So we have those end-to-end tutorials as well. And then we got just a bunch of like how-to articles of like, how do I set up secrets, or how do I parameterize my JMeter scripts to be able to use it with, say, Azure Key Vault secrets. So all of those capabilities and stuff that we haven't really talked about today is all in our documentation. That said, we're in public preview and we're in learning mode here. Like, we'd love to be able to hear about, how our customers, are using the service, how they want to use the service. Are there any gaps? We have, maybe we can also add a link to a GitHub repo where we've been having a lot of really awesome feedback coming in, bugs, but also, suggestions as well. And so we're taking all of that at this time to help inform, where do we take the service going forward? What are the capabilities that will make it most useful for our customers?
That's awesome. And the last thanks to Evans and to Sujit and the whole team for letting me participate in the guest hosting today.
Yeah, no, Arsene, you did a phenomenal job. I am truly petrified for my role as host. As Arsene said, John, thank you very much for coming on. Cynthia,
indeed,
this whole thing was your idea originally, so I appreciate you pushing into this. And Sujit and Kale and Cynthia aren't here today, but thanks to them for supporting it as well. We were, it was something to try, but it's been a lot of fun. And then, Dennis had to drop, but again, kudos to Dennis for. He put out his money for this. So, Arsene, I'm I'm worried about your next meeting with Dennis. You may owe him something here. But no, you did a great job, John. Thanks for being a good sport with us on this sort of unique episode. And you know, with this, it was a lot of fun. Thanks, folks.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Great job with the service, John.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.